One of the things that then Nancy mentioned, there, you know, we ask you to sign the guest book. If you're a guest here, you know, we want to know who you are. I promise you I will not be banging on your door at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. But we just want you to know that we appreciate you coming. And we appreciate you being here. We had a couple guests last week, and I got a card from one of them I want to read. But I also want to share a card with you that I got from May Prentice. I know it was a picture of Bill on the front of it. Said, if tears could build a stairway and memories a lane, I'd walk up to heaven and bring you home again. And she writes in there, she said, we are grateful to all of you at Ross Community UMC and especially to the Lord for his wonderful life. Your friendship, kindness, prayers during his illness and our time of service. Said, you know, so then that was from May, and the card itself was what was pre-printed on it. It says, during our time of sorrow, we learn how much our family and friends really mean to us. Thank you so much for your kindness and sympathy at this time when it's deeply appreciated, May Prentice and Lonnie Ray. So she sent that, and so I just wanted to share that with you. And also, we got a card from a gentleman who was here last week, Bob Hyland. I'm not sure if anybody had a chance to meet him or not. But I talked to him, and he visits different churches. I think he told me he went to Westwood United Methodist. But he said, I visit different churches in the summer. So anyway, he sent a card. I sent him a note and just said, you know, thanks for coming. Hope you enjoy your summer of, you know, I didn't use the term gypsy worship, but, you know, of going around visiting other churches. But anyway, he wrote this, and he said, Larry, thanks for your note. He said, it has nudged me into doing this, which I have meant to do all week. He goes on to say, I very much appreciate and worship you at Ross. That is the atmosphere we want to set. To me, that's exciting. When somebody says it, that is when Karen and Lori and Greg and I met, we talked about what do we want? That's, we want to set a spirit of worship. And, you know, and I know there's some tradition with it. And I know there's some contemporary stuff with it, because I wouldn't look good in a robe. I don't look that good in some of the stuff I wear, but, and Cindy will tell you that. But anyway, he goes on here, says, the honesty and sincerity of worship along with the role of the lady in the service took me to where I want to worship. Good stuff. So anyway, just want to share that with you and let you know that there's some, you know, he took the time to do that, and I, you know, I appreciate that. Want to share with you from Acts today, 23 through 31, and I think this is what God's call is on the church. He said, and when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, thy servant, did say, why did the Gentiles rage and the people devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against the Holy Spirit thy servant, and against Jesus, whom thou did anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur. I'm always interested when I read that word predestined. You know? And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence. While thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders took place, the name of the holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God of boldness with God. And you go on, we go on to see, and you know, and they talk about 3,000 people being added to the church that day. I'm sure that would You know, if we had 3,000 people walk in here, it would there'd be some people standing. I do anticipate, you know, that we'll see some, you know, some growth at Ross. We're going to talk about today, but we also want to take a time of joys and concerns and some things that are, you know, on your minds and on their hearts. So if you have one, you know, just raise your hand and Wayne will get to you.
There's something I realized this morning, because I woke up a little late. I woke up at 10 o'clock, and I was like, huh, there are two things that could happen. I could roll over, and I could go back to sleep, because I'm tired. I had school all week, and sleep is awesome, and then I could wake up later, and I'll be wonderful. Or I could go to church, I could sit there, and I could just be. And I could be around all of the people that have constantly, time and time again, shown me what the love of Jesus Christ is really about. And it was awesome. And I made my decision, and I am really, really happy about that decision.
Life is full of choices, and she made the right one.
Yes, I'd like everyone to pray for my sister Robin. She starts her radiation treatment on Tuesday. And as she starts this radiation treatment every day, there will be side effects. And she's very fearful of these side effects. And I'd like everyone to pray for her as she goes through this radiation treatment.
I have one, please. My sister underwent a serious operation this week. She's having a little trouble, so I ask prayers for Melissa Hornsby. She is with me. She will be with me until she heals. And also for the Ellinghausen family, friends of ours who were in that fatal accident on Wednesday. And the family of the young man who died.
I talked to Terry Mers this week, and this was Thursday. I was down Wednesday at the hospital and saw Jerry. And Betty had been there earlier, and Kathy had been there earlier. And he's not doing real well, you know, as much as I hate to be a pessimist. I got to be honest with you. Terry said that, he, you know, sometimes he's more alert than others, but he was, you know, I guess demanding to go home, and you know, the one time that I really talked to him and met him, he's, you know, he's definitely a battler. There's no doubt about that, and you know, and that's the good news. I think that's what, you know, is really encouraging, you know, the family. But it's just not, you know, the picture's not good, and I don't want to paint it with a black brush, but I do want to paint it with honesty. So let me encourage you to, you know, to be careful, you know, keep Jerry and Betty in your prayers and in your thoughts, as well as Terry and Kathy. They're trying to keep, you know, Betty eating, so they're taking food over, and the grandkids are taking food over, and just trying to do everything, you know, they can. But she's started to go down a little bit earlier and then leave a little bit earlier, you know, to get him some rest. But it's a long road ahead. So just want to keep, you know, share that with you, and, you know, just ask you to just continue to remember him. So let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we want to acknowledge how great you are. And how you lead us and how you guide us, how you protect us, how you bring the rain, how you bring the sun, how you do everything. I mean, we are just, we're nothing without you. And we're humbled by the thought of you cared enough for us to send Jesus to die on a cross for each and every person in this room, in this community, in this state, this nation, in this world. You did that. And Lord, as we look at what our mission is here, we pray for a renewed insight and understanding and passion and compassion for what happened on that cross. And Lord, for Jerry and Betty and Terry and Kathy and their grandkids, we just ask, Lord, for you to continue to give them the strength to minister to both mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. And just help them, Lord, as they go about their daily tasks and things, to be so knowledgeable of your presence in their lives. And Lord, we ask that you walk alongside them and strengthen them and help them, Lord. And for Nancy, sister, Lord, we just ask for you to continue to touch her body, Lord, and to lift her up, to provide a healing touch in her life, Lord. There's such a need, Lord, for healing and health to our physical bodies, to our nation, to our economy, Lord, to our churches, that we unify and in one accord seek you and seek your face for where you would have us to go in this community, Lord. And Lord, for the Ellingsworths, we just pray for them, Lord, and pray for the boy that was killed in this accident. We pray for his family, Lord. And we just ask, Father, for you to touch them and to walk alongside of them. Lord, put your arm around them. Give them a hug. Let them know that you care. Because you do care, and they need that. Lord, for each and every person here, touch their lives. Touch their physical health, Lord. Touch their financial, Lord. Bless your church, Lord. We believe what it says in John, that you wish above all things that we prosper and be in health. And that prosperity is not just money. But it's friends, and it's opportunities, and it's relationships. And it's people here, Lord, that are a prosperity. Because we count friends as friends and true friends. So, Lord, we ask your blessings on this congregation today. We pray, Father, for a fresh and a new outpouring of your Holy Spirit in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Well, this is our Sunday to talk about God's plan for His church. We've talked about fellowship. We've talked about love and light. I won't be able to do that forever because my mind isn't that long. Last week, we talked about His plan for individuals. So what's he want to do with the church? When some of our plans and things that we have established and put into play don't work, we need to step back and recalculate, maybe go a different route, maybe nothing different than what this video has to show us.
I'm your GPS. Turn right up ahead. You never update me, so now I just have to wing it.
Bye, man. Turn left up ahead.
Recalculating. Turn right now! And your 15-minute insurance might not pay for all this. So get Allstate. You can save money and be better protected from mayhem, like me. Recalculating.
Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate.
It's not an endorsement for Allstate. Not after 35 years with an insurance company and Cindy working for another one. That's certainly not an endorsement. But it does make us stop and think that sometimes we have to recalculate. And sometimes we have to take a look at, really, where are we going? And I, you know, to me, those commercials are just, you know, hilarious. But I read something this week, and I want to share it with you. And what this is written by, I've been reading this book called The U-Turn Church. And a phenomenal book. And some other books that I've been taking a look at on church growth. But what it said is, no significant book on change can overlook the importance of vision. There are entire books written about the subject. George Barna. And George Barna is the founded a research group that studies churches and studies religious tendencies and beliefs and religious behavior of Americans. And he wrote, in evaluating churches that are growing and healthy, as well as those that are stagnant or in decline, one of the key distinctions that emerges between these categories is the existence of a true vision for ministry. There's no more powerful engine driving an organization toward excellence and long success than attracting worthwhile and achievable vision for the future widely spread. And I think that's true. I think that if we don't know where we go, where we're going, we have no idea how we're going to get there. And unfortunately, GPS can only recalculate where we were originally headed. So as we take a look at that, one of the conversations, and I've shared this a little bit, but when I met with Brian Brown, the district superintendent, about, you know, an opportunity, one of the things we talked about was something within close driving distance, and I'm going to share a little story about a realtor that Cindy and I met Monday or Tuesday evening. I don't remember. But, and I told him, I said, I want an opportunity to grow. Where we can grow a church, and where, you know, there's that's the opportunity is there and the desire is there. I shared that with the pastor staff committee, and one of the things that came out of that is when we went around and talked, and everybody has a desire to grow. You know, and I think it's more than just a desire. I think it's a passion. And so I'm confident that that vision, that what Barna's talking about and referring to as in looking at unity, is the key factor in us moving forward. And so it's the message entitled, you know, God's Plan for His Church, the Joshua Report. And we're going to talk a little bit about Joshua. But I also shared with someone this morning that we can achieve anything that we believe. And I really sincerely believe that. Because if we don't believe it, we don't have it in our heart, it's never going anywhere. So I think we can do that, and I'm confident. Our goal must be to reach those people that are lost for Christ. We've got to go out and seek them out. It's got to be the heart and soul of each and every one of us in here. There may be some people saying, well, you know, I don't have the skills. Maybe I don't have the opportunity. Maybe I'm not comfortable sharing my faith. And that's all understandable. I mean, I understand those things. We're going to share a little bit today about your God story. And we're going to talk about that. The plan that God has for His church is the plan that He has for us. And that's to see lost people one to Jesus Christ. Because if it had not been for that cross, it would have been in vain. But I don't believe it was. So where do we start? I mentioned the book, and one of the first things that he talks about in there is eternal urgency. What he says is that there is a spiritual urgency to assessing numbers. Now, I've never been a big person about numbers, but what the writer of this book says is that if you don't look at numbers, then you're not looking at lost people. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a totally different look on it than I had ever put on it before, because, you know, we measure everything by numbers. And that's just the way, you know, business does it. That's the way churches do it. How many people are you reaching? How many new people are coming in? And so when we take a look at that, you know, and I thought, well, that's a different way to look at it, because what's at stake if we don't look at numbers is how many people are being lost every day, facing eternity, without hope of heaven. And that makes you stop and think. Made me stop and think, and, you know, as wow. You know, I mean, I run into a lot of people. You run into a lot of people. So there are people outside the church that matter to God. There are people inside the church that matter to God. We're going to talk next week a little bit about Lydia. And I have planned ahead, believe it or not. But we're going to talk a little bit about her. And if you get a chance, read in Acts about Lydia, before next week and a little preparation for it. But I'm not saying that we don't have an urgency, but what I'm saying is I think we need to look at a newfound urgency. And not just us, the church in general, because sometimes we can get too comfortable where we're at and too comfortable with what we have, and we just miss it. And it's not intentional by any means. But we get busy. We have things going on. We have, family concerns. We have homeschooling. We have a lot of different things going on. We have people to care for. Nancy mentioned her sister. She's caring for her sister. There's a lot of things going on in our lives. But first and foremost, has to be that burning desire to see people not go to hell. That has to be our burning desire. So, the urgency of communication. What was the urgency of Peter speaking in Acts 2:32? And I already shut my Bible, so I'll have to find it. Is Acts after John, isn't it? It's not? I knew I should have asked Roger. Acts 2:32, and I wanted to share with you through verse 41. That doesn't look right. How about? It does look right. It says, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, and he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I make the enemies a footstool for thy feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that the Lord God was made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then, those who had received this word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So what he's talking about there is people finding that relationship, repenting, and being baptized. And that's the process of finding that peace. So we talk about the urgency of communication. And I think it's important that we keep in mind that that's what we need to do, is we need to communicate in a fervent concern for people and to understand really what they need. As a Christ follower, I think it's vital that people understand that we're not something different. We're not weirdos. We're not really, that different. We're not someone or something that's unattainable. We're just like that. We're just forgiven. Now, I grew up in a church that said you couldn't go to Eli's for lunch because they sell beer. And they probably sell other stuff too. And I went through all that legalistic, I'll use a five-letter word, stuff, that, to me was just crazy. And so when I, you know, and I look at that, you know, that thought about that, I met a girl down there. I went there for lunch, I'll confess. But I met the waitress down there. Her name was Kristen. And so I was asking her, I said, where do you go to church? And she said, well, you know, I work a lot. And I said, you work Sundays? Well, no, but I'm a single mother. And I said, okay, I understand that. You know, I said, I know people are busy. And I said, I understand being a single mother. I said, but my question, Kristen, was, do you go to church? And if she'd have told me, yes, I go to, you know, First Baptist Church in Ross, that would have been fine. She said, no, she said, I really don't go. And I said, you know, and I told her who I was. And I said, we're open on Sunday mornings. She kind of smiled, you know. And she said, well, I'm Catholic. Does that make any difference? No, it really doesn't make any difference. It's not about denomination. And so, you know, she says, well, some Sunday I might see you. And I said, well, some Sunday I'm going to be looking for you. Cindy and I ran into a realtor this week, and I had mentioned that, and did the same thing. I just asked her. I said, what do you go to church? And she said, I asked her, I said, do you go to church? And she said, yes. And I said, well, if you ever change your mind, I'm not asking you to leave, but if you ever, it's hot in here, isn't it? Thought it wasn't me, it was just me. I said, if you ever change your mind, come see us. And so anyway, yeah, I think that's what it's all about. It's all about sharing our God story. And so what is our God story? Your God story may be one where he's your friend. You don't have to fill these blanks. I gave them to you because I think this is important. He might be your rescuer, your healer. Greg talked about being healed. You know, I had a sinus congestion in 1977 that I would just sit on. You could sit on a patio, and I might as well have a bucket, you know, an oat bucket, you know, like a horse eats out of, you know, because it was that bad. And it got so bad one day, I was just like, you know, I can't take this any longer. Now, I wasn't going to go out and do anything serious, but, you know, and I have not had a problem with sinuses since 1977. So, you know, it could be healer. It could be hope. Could be guide. Could be teacher. Could be new beginnings. Or it could be anything. Mine happens to be one of new beginnings. And, you know, I'll share a little bit about it, but this is how somebody timed me. This is what it's all about. Is, you know, I was, my parents never went to church. They always thought it was important that we went. My mother might have went to church a dozen times in her life. My dad twice. My brother's wedding, my wedding. That's not very often. But, you know, I mean, a lot of people would have given up on church, but for some reason I didn't. And it was probably for what was going to happen today that he didn't let me give up on it. But, you know, some people could have, and some people would have. But I ended up going to a private college, had a degree in theology, and pastored a church. But I had a doctrinal disagreement with the church, so they wouldn't ordain me. So God gave me a new beginning in the corporate world. Now, I stayed involved in churches, and I was on boards and did all kinds of stuff. But he gave me a new beginning. Well, during that time, I got a divorce. Now, I talked to a couple other churches, and they wouldn't have no use for me because I was divorced. And fortunately, Cindy and I have had this conversation. God's more forgiving than certain people in our families. Thank you. But I got a new beginning. He gave me an opportunity. I lost a son. You know, I could have thrown in the towel. This is my story. But he led me to do some grief share, facilitate some grief share classes. He led me to do divorce care. If those aren't new beginnings, man, I don't know what is. Now, I could use some others up there, but I don't think that's what, to me, that's not what it's about. He never gave up. And he won't give up. I don't care how pathetic some people think that their life is. He will not give up on you because he's constantly seeking people out. And these people are coming up and said, I found God. No, God found you. You didn't find him. Because he's seeking you. Because he wants to help you. And he wants to minister to people. So it's a life of new beginnings. Yours is going to be different. But it's who we are, where we are, right at this moment. Mine might change. I don't know. But if it does, it does. But I think that that's what's important, is we need to find out really who we are and put that God story together in 2 minutes that you can tell somebody who you are. Now, before you leave here today, you get a gift. It's a washer. I'm a big spender. And if you need to tie it around your neck, stick in your pocket. But I had this washer in my pocket. I got these like Tuesday. I had this washer in my pocket when I talked to the realtor. And I had this washer in my pocket when I talked to the girl at Eli's. And it reminded me I need to share my story, or I need to look at someone and say, Kristen, where do you go to church? It's a gimmick. I'll not deny it. But it's a reminder. Because that's what it's going to take. Because we got so much going on. We're so busy. And I know we are. But, and I didn't put it in a loud Sunday, bang the bucket. Because Judy would have had a fit. Or the counting machine would have had a fit. But it's just, it's just a way to remember. And if Kristen told me, like I said, if I go to First Baptist Church, keep going. God will bless us for encouraging people like that. Numbers 13, 25 through 30, back to the Joshua report. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. Keep that one in mind. But the people who live there are powerful, and their cities are fortified and very large. Keep that in mind. We even saw descendants of Anak there. There were Amalekites there that live in the Negev, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. And then Numbers 14, 7 and 9 says, Joshua said to the entire Israelite assembly, that's a whole bunch of people, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. The Lord is pleased with us, and he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. What did Rahab know last week? That God had given them that land. It's kind of interesting how all this stuff ties together. Wow. He said, only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid. Remember that one. Of the people in the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land. Before Moses, Moses silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. So, one of the things that we're going to find is there's fruit in the land. And that's what Joshua told them. When we grow, we're going to have greater resources to do more. More for God. As I said, I've not met one person here who's not interested in growing. And that's exciting. Growth provides ministry opportunities. More things that we can do. More things that we can do for the community. It gives us more servants to do the work. Everyone here, you all are great servants. and you do so much. Let's get some help. Let's get some other people to share the blessings that God has, you know, for us. More servants mean greater growth in the kingdom of God and greater things that can be done for Him. Our need to grow stems from a passion that no one should perish, but everyone should have everlasting life. So we see fruit all around us. I saw Kristen. We saw a realtor the other night, and unfortunately, I can't remember Nicole. We saw her. That's fruit out there. That's people out there that if we don't do something, someone may not. So that's what he's talking about there. Many of people know people who are suffering. You know, people that are lonely. We know people that are hurting. I would encourage you that if you have those people, let me know who they are. I'll go talk to them. Don't bother me. I feel pretty approachable. And I think I can, talk to the majority of people. I encourage you to do that. He said there's these, so he says there's fruit in the land. There are people out there. He also said, what? There's some giants out there. And I think it's important that we keep in mind that when, Joshua's partner, old Caleb, silenced them, and he silenced the detractors, he didn't deny the existence of giants. Because if he would have, the people would have been ill-prepared to deal with the giants. But he said they're out there, but he said, God has given us the land. So I think, when we look at that, people are losing their souls to eternity and going into, eternal damnation, it's without the presence of Jesus Christ in their lives. That's what our message is. And what, oftentimes if we don't do things, we miss out on a blessing, that we could have in people's lives. We've all seen people standing along, the streets and looking for money. And sometimes we feel compelled to stop and give it to them. Sometimes we feel compelled to move on. But that's a blessing that God wants to give you, I think, either way, because we've heard Him both ways. So I think, that's something that, that we need to keep in mind. There's fruit in the land, there's giants out there, but we can also achieve what we believe. Do we believe we can fill this worship center? I really do. And we're going to do meet Tuesday night with some folks to talk about a vision. Where we want to go. What we want to do. And it's a moral loss if we don't do what we should do. Caleb went out and said, we can do it. No hesitation. And I would like for us to walk out today and say, we can do it for God, because they were doing it for God. We need to be encouragers one another as we walk along this path and as we work along kingdom building. First church I pastored was a small church. I mean, it was really, really, really small. The numbers were, first Sunday I was there, was 80 less than what was reported. Let me tell you, you don't need all your fingers and toes to count the people there on Sunday morning. And I could tell you why later. But the bottom line was, they wanted to grow, but they thought it was just going to happen. It doesn't happen. Yeah, it really doesn't. It doesn't happen by us, sitting on our posteriors and thinking it's going to happen. It's going to happen because we find that washer in our pocket. And I look at Kristen and I say, do you go to church anymore? We don't have to beat them down. We don't have to pound on them. But do you, we want people to come in here and enjoy passionate worship. I love that Carmen song. The second one, you say, I just love that song. It's what it's all about. Revive us. We have radical hospitality here. I'll tell you, you'll see it afterwards. But, That's what God wants. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to have fun. I'm sure God stands up there and laughs at us and thinking, okay, you know, what's he going to do today? But what I said to those people in Auburn, Illinois, in a town of 3,300 people in a farm community, is I said, we need to believe God for a new family every week. Now, it's just not going to happen. I wish it would. Sure make it easier on us. But we got to talk to people. We've got to talk to people about when I said to Kristen, she says, oh, yeah, that's a church up in the soccer field. I said, that works. You know, that's where we're at. We're in a soccer field. So come see us. The other thing that we have is passion. We have to have a passion for what we do, and I think we have that passion. I really do. Dr. Martin Luther King gave one of the most passionate speeches ever was when he said, I have a dream. I have a dream. We all need to have that dream. I'm not after recognition of being the fastest growing church in the denomination. That doesn't bother me. Because in work I achieved stuff that was not important. That wasn't important. Lost souls is what's important. That's got to be our passion. That's got to be what we've got to do for people. It would be my dream to see this place full. Wouldn't even bother me if we went to two or three services on Sunday. Do a Saturday night one. I don't care. Make any difference to me. The other thing we got to do is as we go through this, we need to keep the faith as we move on. We need to encourage one another. Because there's going to be some times when you're going to say, is this really worth it? You know, when you look back and you think, wow. You know, we did all this and nothing happened. But let me tell you, it's worth it. It's really worth it. So, you know, we'll do that. Some people, you know, as we talk about keeping the faith, they said they were afraid. You know, I meant some people might be afraid to share what God's done for you. That's understandable. Who is this God? And so I've had somebody you can't see do something for you. It worked. That's all I can tell you. It worked. So, you know, the problem with the Joshua Report was that the people chose to wander four decades having no idea what the repercussions were of not getting into the Promised Land. 40 years. Wow, I'll be 40 next year. It's unbelievable. You know, huh? So, you know, that's what we take a look at. So, what kind of church do we want to be? Church is intended to be a colony of heaven living according to the gospel announcement. But too often we turn the kingdom colony into a country club. Our focus becomes the comfort and preservation of the tribe rather than the mission and accomplishment of the gospel announcement. I'm not saying we're a country club. I didn't say that. A missional-minded community, the highest value isn't self-preservation, but self-sacrifice. And there is that goes on here. A missional community exists not to be primarily for itself, but for others. It's a community that's willing to be inconvenienced and discomforted, willing to expend itself for others on God. So, when you get your washer, when you walk out of here today, invite people to come to church. When you feel that washer, tell them where we're at. Tell them how good looking your pastor is. I was hoping for a little bit more laughter. But, you know, whatever it takes, we need to build God's kingdom so people aren't lost. And that's the whole mission of the church. And we are the church. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day and for your blessings in our lives. You are so good to us. We pray, Father, as we leave this day, that there will be a renewed passion and a renewed emphasis on this cross and what it represents to each and every person that we come in contact with this week. Father, if they are a Christian, we want to encourage them. If they need you, we want to share with them. It's that simple. So bless us. Go with us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join us and sing People of God?
You know, the pastor, he's held up as the washer for you, right? How many times have we always said, you know, well, I'll get around to it. I used to say that all the time, well, I'll get around to it. And then one day somebody walked up to me and said, here you go, and they handed me a washer. I said, what is it? That is, said, it's around to it. Get around to it and make it happen. You know, the doctor, pastor, you talked about giants. You know, with David and Goliath, what was our fear, right? The fear was, oh gosh, look how big this giant is. But the reality is, it's too big to miss. Come on. It's too big to miss, right? And go into and bless God. Talk to your servers, the people that come to you, the waiters, waitresses. When you come to them, ask them if they need prayer for anything. That's one of the things I started doing a number of years back. What a great way to minister to people. 9 times out of 10, they'll come back and they'll need prayer for something. And 9 times out of 10, they'll hold their hand out. I'll hold my hand out. They'll take my hand. We'll pray right there. Isn't that an awesome thing to do? What a great way to reach out to people. It's just low problems, no problems. So let us gather and seek peace, and let's be the people of God. Please stand and join us.
With our lips let us see one confession, with our hearts hold to one truth alone. For He has erased our transgression, claimed us and called us His own. His very own. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. Hear us, O spirits of darkness, so you will know where we stand. We are His servants, purchased with scars, bought by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son.
Amen.
Amen.
And our pastor has a wonderful parting thought for you. Make sure you get your round to it. All right, get your washers. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome, awesome week. Make it happen for Jesus.